folks, what we've been chatting about here, and I know in terms of our email and the calls that have come into the program when we've done live shows, a big issue is in, now, those of you who are hearing us before April the 8th, the big issue is, and on my April the 8th, at the developers conference, they're going to make some announcements, and on April the 8th, officially, they will, and Microsoft will end support for Windows XP, which has been going since 2001, guys? 2001?
Right, and plus they've already extended it already for two years.
Yeah, much more than they normally would with an OS. The problem has been, it was so successful.
Yeah.
I think it's close to a half a billion people are on XP around the world.
And that's not including the 200,000 ATMs that run variant of Windows
XP.
Yeah,
but they're not connected to the internet.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Now, the issue is, and I think for most of our callers and people writing in, is, do I stay put? Is there a way of being safe staying put? Or do I move on? And I think our general consensus is, look, folks, if you can afford it, move on. I mean, why stay and risk the dangers of an OS that isn't being patched? I mean, that's just common sense.
Kind Don't
of.
Upgrade.
Am I right or am I wrong?
But there's two sides of this move-on issue that's going on in this particular room. One side of the move-on issue says, hey, we don't want to infect the internet. We don't want things getting crazy out there. Get rid of those robots and that sort of thing. The other side of this room says it's time to move on because technology says it's time to move on. You're going to be able to take it full advantage of the full plethora of what the internet has to offer if you have a newer operating system.
Now, we also had the other thing, too. Ed, last week we had a lady on talking about having a sewing machine that had certain software and patterns on it. Very, very fancy sewing machine that does stitching and things like that.
Right, and not that she didn't purchase the upgrade so she can install it on a Windows Vista or a Windows 7 system. She didn't like the program or didn't like how it interacted with that operating system to be able to do her stitching program. I prefer this version.
But in her particular case, the pure beauty of that particular situation is she doesn't necessarily have to be on the internet to use that application.
She could be her
own
island.
So if it's a standalone island like that, you know, heaven go crazy, you're going to have a good time stitch away.
That's a very, very good point.
So the good, you know, the other argument here is your, you know, there's nobody patching your OS, and we've known this for a long time, and we see the incidence of new viruses for XP going down, and a lot of people have said it's going down because they're not stupid. If they release it last month, Microsoft would come up with an antidote with the definition that would patch it. However, next month, after the 8th of April, nobody's coming up with a way to patch the OS.
Patch the OS, yes.
Patch the operating system for XP. So they're all holding them. They're waiting until after Microsoft won't patch it anymore, and then they're going to unleash all these viruses.
Put down a dozen donuts they're not going to do that.
Okay, folks, it's down. You've heard it here. It's down. A dozen donuts. A week after, we'll check in.
So, regardless of what you believe...
Punchki time has passed, so you're safe. It won't be very expensive.
So, regardless, my father used to say everyone is entitled to their own opinion, no matter how wrong it can be, right? Yep. So the point is, it only takes a few, and nobody's patching, so it's going to go around, and eventually, right, and it may not be immediately, but eventually... If you have XP, they're probably going to get to you. And when they do, they're either going to do something that you won't like steal your identity or steal your
credit card information
mm-hmm. off of your
whatever they can get.
Your
contact list, whatever it may be.
Or what they'll do is they'll turn it into a robot, which is they do a lot of, and it'll start to spew other content out to everybody else on the
internet.
You
lose possession of your own machine, essentially, at times when you don't see it.
So the IS there all know that there's a lot of XPs.
Yep.
And they're saying, okay, when we start, after the 8th of April, when we start to see a lot of traffic going out of certain machines, it's probably been turned into a robot. We'll just kill it. We'll just take that machine offline. You won't be able to use your ISP because your machine was turned into a robot and is spewing messages out to everybody else on the internet.
Okay, if you will, that's the worst. Go ahead, Cal.
I agree with
you. So you won't have to be on the internet very long because your ISP will shut you down. You will have to go out and get something other than XP.
I do agree with Gary that if it creates a problem for the ISP, they will shut it down.
Yeah. Okay. They always have.
Yeah.
But before, you would get automatic patches and it would patch them.
Yeah,
but right? And we always dealt with. I owned an ISP. We dealt with people like this, and you shut them down. They call, and you get them patched, and then we turn them back on again.
Right.
Well, there's no patching XP, so when that happens,
there is an alternative. I'm going to ask.
But see, I'm going to go against you on one thing that you said there just now, Gary. You go like you get automatic patches. I know so many people who have the automatic patching turned off on their XP machine, so they don't get it. So they're always open. They're wide open. Everything's going on. It's been a long time since we've had a really bad virus where people were shutting things down.
Yeah, but that keeps us in business because when their machine gets slow,
they call us.
And if they didn't, everybody did what they were supposed to, we'd be off the air.
One of the things we're finding, Ed, I don't know if you were seeing this too, is that sometimes people with XP haven't even got SP3 on it, Service Pack 3, which did a lot of the major security patching on it. They aren't even running SP3 on it.
I've came across so many machines with SP1 on it. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. But, everybody's got to take their own position and protect what needs to be protected. I'll put my tinfoil over here and wait till later.
This whole thing, I think, is like a Y2K thing. Everyone was up in arms about Y2K. You know, the world's not going to end for the XP users when Microsoft stops releasing security updates
That's true.
It is going to be a 6-month or a year process for all those systems to either fail.
But there will be consequences. It may take longer for them to hit.
For the fail or for the people finally take the time and to upgrade it and buy a new system or to, or they lose all their data.
Okay, here's a question.
So I do agree with that. It's not immediate.
Now, here's a question then.
Probably.
What do you make of the announcement? We posted this on our homepage. If you go to internetadvisor.net, it's the first news item on there. Malwarebytes, their pro suite, which is $25 a year, says that they are offering protection, and I will quote the article from them, that will support XP users for life. Does that give us, or XP users, any kind of consolation, comfort, protection, real protection?
It helps with malware. It doesn't help with viruses. It doesn't help with other things, but it helps with malware.
It'll help with some viruses. It does.
Some?
Yep.
You're right.
Because they say they're using, now here's the difference. They say they're using heuristics, H-E-U-R-I-S-T-I-C-S. In other words, it doesn't go by definitions, the virus definitions. It watches the behavior of the application when it comes in, and it monitors certain kinds of behaviors, and it's constantly updating that monitoring pattern.
Right.
So it says, all right, I may not get the definitions from Microsoft and from other places, but what I do is I have this very clever piece of software that watches what comes in and how it behaves.
Okay, but that's no different than anything else that's going on nowadays. For example, every virus protection program out there says, we'll protect you, and they will until they come across something that they don't know about, until they can learn something about it to be able to make protection for
it. Am I right, Ed, that Microsoft Security Essentials will continue to work?
You know, I wouldn't think so.
I haven't said for a year.
Really? Okay.
I have to look at that. Darn.
But I thought the corporate position was XP end of life. We're not supporting that anymore.
Right. Well, so that's patching, but I think Microsoft Security Essentials.
It will continue to work. They just won't patch it. They won't add any additional definitions.
Okay. So then the question is, will they add definitions to Microsoft Security Essentials that work?
That's my question, too. We need to look that up.
We'll find out.
So anyway, we're going to continue this conversation, folks. We really want to try to talk out as much as we can here because we know that a lot of you are up against a psychological wall, at least, about I've got XP. Maybe you don't have the X number of dollars to buy a new machine or to buy a new operating system. And by the way, it would be simply upgrading to Windows 7, for instance, in most of your cases, could do it for you. Or even to Vista would do it for you.
No, don't suggest that.
I know. We'll be back in just a little bit to talk more about that and a great report about tech in Detroit. Thanks for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. By the way, I hope that you are going back to internetadvisor.net, our homepage, and using it as a resource. We've got some great resources there in the toolkit that Ed Riddell has pulled together for your security. We also have links for things we've been talking about in our program today, like the article about the Malwarebytes Premium and their offer to support XP users for life. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that in just a moment. But we try to do is pack as much information. And what I'm also doing now, by the way, is breaking down the segments so that if we have a segment on a particular topic, like on these topics we've been talking about, XP and end of life, that we gather them together in shorter bites and that you can link to that particular thing. Go back to the homepage, and then you can download straight from there rather than downloading the entire podcast. You can go to get a little piece of it, and if it's a particular interest to you. So part of what we're trying to do is we're trying to create something which we hope will become part of a podcast channel in the near future, where you'll have a whole wealth of resources, including going back to some of our great programs. We've had some wonderful guests, like we had Waz on in 2001.
Right.
We're digging to find that interview so we can pull that back up and have that available to you. It was a classic. It was a real classic.
It was great. Yep.
And absolutely worthy of bringing back a
number
of
times. That was Steve Wozniak, who was the other Steve that started Apple.
Right, the two Steves, Steve Squared, who founded Apple. And he is still very much alive. And what a character. What a delightful character. He had come for a Mac Group, special Mac Group anniversary.
He came for two of our Mac Group anniversary meetings. And as funny as it was, he was in town to speak for a group over in Dearborn. And my daughter called him up and said, hey, you know, I need you to autograph something for me. Is it possible we could meet up and I could get that done? And he met with her and another person, and they all went out to dinner and had a great time.
Oh, what? Oh, my goodness. The dinner with Waz. I mean, people would pay thousands of dollars for that.
Well, and, you know, he put in the money and started The Tech, which is a hands-on museum in San Jose.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's absolutely wonderful. I mean, you can get in and design a roller coaster. Then you get into the roller coaster and you watch it out the front screen and you feel the G-forces. And it's it's
hands-on. It's a real hands-on.
And it really is. And you get to design these things. So it's a kind of a little... You could do it at all different levels, but I was intrigued by it as an adult. So
sounds
it's
like
not
you
just for kids.
Sounds like you had a roller coaster ride.
That's because Hodge was very much into education, especially with younger kids, stuff like that. Matter of fact, when he left Apple, he went back to teach fifth graders.
He
loved it the entire time.
Yeah.
Yes.
He is a wonderful communicator, I think, precisely because of that, because I'm about a fifth grader when it comes to technology. Yeah.
And a great story, too.
And he would get his girls' friends to come over to the house after school, and he would have all sorts of experiments and fun things for them to do. And
well, speaking of roller coaster rides,
wouldn't you like to have Steve Wozniak as your neighbor?
Oh, right? Man, that would be wonderful. We've been talking about what happens for you XP users out there. Come April the 8th, when Microsoft shuts down its... patching the operating system. Now, we told you the malware bytes, if you get the pro version, which is $25 a year, has guaranteed that they will provide you with a level of protection. Now, you still need an antivirus program, but they will continue with that. It says they will support XP users for life. Now, we asked a question, and Ed, you just confirmed that Microsoft Security Essentials will continue for, go ahead.
For an undetermined period of time. So what Microsoft stated on their website is come April 8th, you will no longer be able to download Microsoft Security Essentials if you're running Windows XP.
Very important.
But if you already have Microsoft Security Essentials installed on a Windows XP system, they will continue to provide security updates for an undetermined length of time.
Yeah. All right. So go ahead,
you know, let's make sure we really understand what Microsoft is doing and why, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is an old operating system. There is so much better technology out there today.
Absolutely.
They're just saying it's so old. It's almost like GM saying, you know what, we're not going to do any more production parts for, you know, the 1970 Impala.
Right, and there's another issue involved.
They're just not going to make them anymore.
There's another issue involved in this is when we talk about patching the operating system, when you bring all those legacy systems behind you, you have to continue patching all those holes that you've already taken care of with Windows 8, for instance, with all the security that's built into it and everything else. So you've got to keep on plugging all those old things. It's like, as you said, you've got to keep on getting that one butterfly hinge for the carburetor when you've got electronic ignition going.
And Cal said, you know, said it right, which is there's so much better technology out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely.
People don't even know. If you're only on XP, you have no idea what the new technology can do.
Well, even better than that, just to justify it and save a lot of trouble. You know, what did they use before they had Windows XP? Well, they went to XP because they wanted to take advantage of the new stuff that's going out there.
Absolutely.
It's time to start to change again. Right. You walked away from DOS to a Windows environment. You walked away from Windows 95 to XP.
98.
Now it's time to walk away from that to another environment.
Now, guys, let's talk about some practical things for people who are listening now. They're on XP. Okay, we converted them. What do we do to move from XP, let's say, to another operating system, even if you're not buying a new box, which would be the better move because everything's integrated together. What would you suggest are some of the things they need to do? What steps? to make themselves be able to do that.
Well, wait a minute. Let's make sure that we also say we don't recommend it.
No, but I can hear. We've already had email on this. We've had people are asking about this. So let's just consider this scenario. You want to keep your same machinery, but you want to move up to a new...
Well, if a person's doing Windows XP, there's a reason they're doing that. And that might be because they just don't want to change. But you're going to need to at least back it up, your data. And what I would recommend for people is if they're considering going to another Microsoft product instead of a Mac, that they use Microsoft File and Transfer Wizard. You can go out and buy a 32 gigabyte, as an example, flash drive for about $16.
Right.
You just run the Microsoft File and Transfer Wizard. You say, this is my old computer. Transfer all my data and settings onto that flash drive.
Okay. Or you do it before, Eddie, you can take a network cable. If you have a new box that you're going
through. This was with assuming you don't even have a new box.
Okay, good. Okay.
Okay.
So then what the next step would be that you would put the new operating system on?
No. Well, no. I thought we were just talking about how to ensure...
Backup.
Yeah, backup.
Okay, that's it. So we got the backup taken care of that way?
Right. And what you can do, if you want to, is then when you do receive a new system, assuming your other one isn't infected already or crashed, is you can run the File and Transfer Wizard on a newer computer system, point to the flash drive, it'll suck in all your data, all your settings, all your favorites, not the applications. That's the point.
Okay, good.
I mean, that's one way of backing up the data.
The second way I was going to suggest to back it up, and it takes a little more technical expertise, but in the long run, you end up with a good deal, is have them pull from the old computer the old hard drive. Put it into an enclosure that you can pay for about $20-$30 for. It'll have USB interface on it. You plug that into the computer, use that for the File and Transfer Wizard, and then when it's all done and you're sure it's on the new computer and you're happy, wipe the old drive, and now you have a backup drive that you can use on a regular basis for backing your data up with.
Now, Ed, you said something important there. When you are backing up, you got to make sure you're not backing up viruses, you're not backing up junk.
Right.
So I would probably run CCleaner before you do that, to get rid of all the temporary files and all the other junk, so you don't spend a lot of time backing up garbage.
Yeah, but remember, on the other hand, too, when it goes onto the new machine that Ed is talking and pointing to, you'll already have your virus protection already loaded on that machine ahead of time, and as that data comes in, it will scrub or eliminate off the ones that you
But not
can't
necessarily
the
temp
over.
Files and things like that. That's what I'm suggesting.
When you're running
you're
the Microsoft
bring temp files over.
Yeah.
When you're running the Microsoft File and Transfer Wizard, it does not copy temp files.
Oh, okay.
It
good.
Copies just data and just settings.
I'm thinking if you run CCleaner, it may fix registry problems and things like that as well. So that's why I was saying, for instance, when sometimes people are going to do backups, I suggest they run the CCleaner first before they do that.
Is CCleaner still being supported on XP?
I believe it is.
Okay.
For now. we're talking about it for now.
Okay.
Okay. And then the next step would be, as you said, to get a new hard drive, for instance, or the new operating system, pardon me, like Windows 7. What does Windows 7 cost, guys? I haven't looked at it recently. Does anybody know what Windows 7
is? I have never bought any Windows 7 or Windows 8 straight out at all. It's always came with a computer.
Right.
So, and that's a much better way to do it.
That's right.
That's the way you do it. Just buy a new computer. You can get one cheap, you know, refurbished.
So much better.
Refurbished with a store at a Best Buy or a Micro Center.
We've seen the Micro Centers for $354.
Oh, they're less than that.
Are they now?
Yeah, the refurbished ones are too.
Or you can even, you know, Shane, what he does.
That's right.
At his store is they buy off lease. They came off
Very
lease.
Good
they're
point.
2 years, and he has a Microsoft licenses so that he can bulk install clean OSs for $5 per.
So another good thing, folks, then would be to go to your local computer shop like Comptech Services, where Shane is,
and he buys.
Or other places.
He buys them in bulk. He'll buy 200-300 systems that come off a lease from a manufacturer, and then he'll put them clean and he'll distribute them in his stores.
So that's another good place.
And then you
get
an in-store warranty.
And you have somebody face-to-face that you deal with, which is really good. Okay, guys, I think we've kind of talked this thing through. Now, the next week when we come back on, we're going to be talking about the reality will have happened. Windows 8 will be here. We'll have some folks from Microsoft here to talk about things like Windows 8.1 update, which is going to be downloaded, among other things. So it's a lot of big changes coming up. So I hope you'll be with us on our next Internet Advisor, which will be live on our flagship station at WJR from 4 to 6 p.m. on Saturday. And that's coming up in the first Saturday in April.